Well, hello and welcome back to Stuff We Like. This is episode 12. Okay, so you're probably wondering, why has the podcast taken so long to produce? Well, various reasons. One primarily is the thing that I'm looking at in my living room as I speak at the moment, and that is boxes of provisions for the new coffee shop, which will be opening in the middle of November. Since I last did a podcast, I have become a trained barista. I've learned to make coffee with a proper coffee making machine, lattes, cappuccinos, all those kinds of wonderful drinks. And I have trained up 10 baristas who will be volunteering in the coffee shop that I will be helping to run in November. And these baristas come from all walks of life. Some have permanent jobs. Most have part-time jobs or no jobs, or are looking to work in that field, or are just thinking of things that they'd like to do with their time. And this particular coffee shop is going to be quite unique because we're labelling it as a people shop that serves coffee. It's called the Corner Coffee House in Green Lane in Dagenham. And the address is 808 Green Lane if you want to pop in the middle of November and say hello to us. And I should be working there some afternoons. Other people will be working mornings and afternoons. Some will be working weekends and so on. And basically, we're going to be serving excellent coffee and cake and tea, of course. But we'll also be hanging out with people, talking to people, seeing what makes the community tick, trying to find ways to bring a certain amount of life and joie de vivre into our community. And while I say that, we're also going to be displaying works of local artists in the place. So there'll be things to hang up, things to see. There'll be a certain aesthetic nature to the whole enterprise. It's not just about coffee, of course, as I've said before. But I have to say, and this is a little tantalising, we took delivery of our first set of beans and the machine last week. More about that anon, I'm sure, in another Stuff We Like episode. But the beans we've sourced come from a place called Verdi Coffee, which is a Welsh concern in Cardiff. Not the most glamorous coffee company in the world, but they have a very good set of machines and a very good set of equipment. And I can highly recommend doing business with Verdi Coffee. Very nice people, very responsive, very decent prices. And their Café Pieno, which is the bean that we've chosen for the launch of our shop at least, is particularly delicious. I'm very pleased we've picked that particular bean. Everyone who tastes the coffee, first of all, they like the presentation, they like the way we do the coffee and so on, but they like particularly the flavour of that bean. People who just drink espressos on their own have said that they think, this is a really special flavoured coffee. It's not exceptionally pungent or powerful. It's got a light, mellow, smooth taste, but it does have its own distinct characteristic. And if I start to try to describe it, I'll go off into some pretentious language, which really, it has no place in this particular podcast. Having just said joie de vivre, what am I talking about, you may ask. But nevertheless, it's a really delicious tasting coffee. So if you do find yourself down Dagenham Way, do pop by and see us at 808 Green Lane from the middle of November onwards. I shall be mentioning it probably in every podcast from now on. We're now going to have a bit of fun. I'm going to attempt to take you on a journey along the Dorset coast, starting at Swanage, an intriguing little town which juts out into the beach, into the sea, and the beach is like a crescent shape and it's got a little harbour. And it's particularly nice for shopping, pootling around the various back streets or looking for ice creams, popping into the pubs there. But the beach is particularly nice because Swanage kind of has its own microclimate. It's nestled in its own little bay. It's also very near the towns which we mentioned before, Langton Matravers, we mentioned in a previous episode of this podcast. Not far from Swanage, up towards Bournemouth is Studland Bay. And Studland Bay is, again, a lovely, sweeping coastal beach. If you venture too far, you'll end up on the naturist beach. So you probably want to stick to the nearer end, the end nearest the car park. But that's a little less spoilt in terms of beaches. It's kind of got a wild aspect to it. It's very nice, very pleasant. From Swanage, you can take a small train, which will appeal to children, along a railway up to Corfe Castle, which is actually a town called Corfe Castle. But there is, surprisingly, a castle there, Corfe Castle, where various monarchs did various things quite a long time ago. I understand King John had his nephew Arthur murdered there. No, he was murdered in Rouen. But never mind. It's a particularly beautiful aspect because you can stand on top of Corfe Castle and look all around the surrounding countryside. It also makes a wonderful appearance in the film of Nuts in May by Mike Lee. Corfe Castle, beautiful ruin. Then you can pootle along the coastal road to Lulworth Cove, which is a lovely sweeping bay. Now, you can actually wander from the car park in Lulworth Cove, which juts onto the beach, which is an almost perfect crescent, all the way up along a coastal path to Durdle Door. And Durdle Door is a limestone arch which has been carved out of the rock over years of sea activity. And it is really quite spectacular. You can even park at Durdle Door itself and walk down a very narrow, steep set of stairs to the coast, to the beach itself. The only thing is worth remembering is that coastal area has been eroded quite recently. And so they've had some issues with landfall there. So it's always worth being careful. But Lulworth Cove has a specifically pebbly beach, as does Durdle Door. And pebbles are a huge feature in Chesil Beach. If you carry on around the coastal area, you'll come to the town of Weymouth, which is a fairly bustling town, lots of shops and supermarkets, and a massive crescent beach there as well. A statue of one of our kings, I think it's King George III. And past Weymouth Bay, you will see Portland Bill, the lighthouse at the end of Portland Island, which is a kind of causeway island. A peninsula, that's the word I'm looking for. Portland itself is quite atmospheric. It's very steep. A lot of the roads go really up to the top. And then there's a prison there. There's a quarry. But you can actually go and explore some of the old quarry areas there. And that's quite interesting. But from the top of Portland, you can see stretching for miles in the distance the beach of Chesil Beach, which is actually protrudent. It protrudes from the coast itself in a very straight line, and it is a straight mound of pebbles and rocks. It's quite difficult to explain or describe, but actually just cascading along the coast from Portland, this beach just follows the coast around for quite a long time. Initially apart from the coast itself, and then gradually merging with the coast round about Abbotsbury. It's a spectacular beach, and there are a lot of pretty villages along the road leading in parallel to the beach, not least of which, of course, is the aforementioned Abbotsbury. Abbotsbury has a swanery, and it also has a fantastic cream tea place where you can stop and indulge in West England's most wonderful cream tea. Moving on from Abbotsbury, where there are some wonderful walks, you get to eventually a town called Charmouth. And Charmouth is delightful. It is set on a hill going up towards Lyme Regis. And Charmouth is basically one of the places where you can decamp and get to the beach and start to look along the coastal area for fossils, ammonite fossils, which abound in that area. Literally, you can just tap out some of the stone and find an ammonite buried in it. It's quite an exceptional place. Charmouth also has some delightful tea shops and shops on its main road. But if you ascend to the top of the road, you'll come to the crowning part of the road, and down on the other side, the road descends into Lyme Regis, which is a delightful town, absolutely wonderful. And Lyme Regis is the location of the French lieutenant's woman. So it has the cob, the huge stone sea wall that juts out quite a long way into the bay. And you can stand on that and pretend to be Jeremy Irons calling back Meryl Streep from a position of precariousness. But it also has a lovely high street, restaurants, shops, museums, cinemas, a gigging venue. I understand gigs take place quite a long time, in Lyme Regis as well. But it's an area of beauty and history. Jane Austen was particularly fond of Lyme Regis, and Persuasion has an element of its novel located there as well. I think it was Jane Austen who said it rivals the Isle of Wight in terms of its beauty. Well, I don't think Jane Austen had ever been to the Maldives, sadly, but it certainly does rival other parts of Britain. Lyme Regis is really exceptionally lovely, only slightly spoiled by some arcades along the beach and along the sea walk. But it has a garden which sort of ascends from the sea up into the top of the hill beyond, and there are plenty of places to stop and eat and just enjoy the aspect of being in a delightful part of the English coast on the seaside. Not far from Lyme Regis is the little hamlet of Morecambe Lake, and Morecambe Lake boasts a factory where they make Dorset Knob biscuits. Yes, you heard that right, they're called Dorset Knobs. And actually, a Dorset Knob is a small spherical biscuit, which is quite brittle and goes particularly well with local cheeses and butter, I think. But of course, they also make lots of other kinds of biscuits as well. And I don't know if you can still, but you used to be able to visit the factory itself and watch them actually putting the biscuits in the mix, mixing and piping them out and putting them in the ovens there. So freshly baked biscuits, a shop there as well, a lovely place to visit on your way back from Lyme Regis. A couple of podcasts ago, I mentioned Adnams Ales and how amazing they are. What a great little brewery it is in the middle of Southwold in Suffolk, and how much we enjoy going there. What I hadn't had at that point was their single malt whiskey. And it has to be said that Adnams single malt whiskey is really quite exceptional. I had a broadside blend, and it tastes kind of like broadside beer on first tasting. And then later on, it has a kind of spicy kick at the end, which is extremely warming and very, very welcome. It's available in two sizes, as far as I know, and it's not cheap, but it's certainly a lovely type of single malt to have of a cold winter evening, or even a sprightly summer evening, sitting in the garden as I am now, though I'm not actually sipping any broadside whiskey right now because I don't have any. If you're the sort of person who's interested in this sort of thing, you might be wondering what microphone I use for this particular podcast. And the answer would be another stuff I like, the Zoom H2N. It's a handheld microphone, fairly simple, kind of designed like an old-fashioned broadcasting mic, which is quite nice. But it's completely digital, and it records everything onto an SD card, which is easily taken out and put into a computer, and the various sound files uploaded. It has various functions, particularly good with things like all the usual graphic EQ type stuff. But it also has a microphone which enables you to record unidirectionally or omnidirectionally. So you can record straight to your face, like I am now, or you can record a conference by using the round the room mic. So you just switch the mic around and it will record front and back and ambiently all the way around. It's quite a huge range. It's not especially expensive, and this particular model is not even my own. It's borrowed from a friend of mine. So all of my Stuff We Like podcasts have all been recorded on a borrowed microphone. I know that comes as a deep shock to many of you, but that's the case. Mind you, he's currently borrowing my camera, so we're quids off at the moment. So there you go, the Zoom H2N, a superior and wonderful little mic. Thanks for listening. As I've said, Stuff We Like will continue in its current form. We will be having more interviews anon, and we will also be featuring quite a few things, possibly from the Corner Coffee House, as it emerges in the local community. I recognise that the podcast is particularly London-centric, and even more specifically East London-centric, but be assured we're interested in all parts of the world, so if you have things you want to tell me, just let me know. Drop me a line on dhsimmons@outlook.com, or alternatively follow me on Twitter and tell me through that medium as well. We're also on Pinterest, and we have quite a lot of things to say. And I'm also just highlighting your attention to a book that I have co-written with two other authors, which will be released very soon. We currently are self-publishing it through the publishing house Lulu, and we're in the process of final editing, which is far longer and drawn out than I'd realised. So if you're interested in that, also keep an ear out through Stuff We Like and following me on Twitter and Facebook, and you'll be able to find out more about the book very soon. This has been Stuff We Like, and we look forward to hearing from you in the future.